See, now you're ready. Doesn't it feel good to be ready now? Yeah.
Well, first, I want to be the first to say we are so grateful that you guys and gals are being so generous with your time, coming up here, coming to Encounter, learning with us, experiencing Encounter with us. It's going to be really cool. We got this next lesson, guys and gals, is like the establishment, right? This is like the concrete slab of everything that comes after it. I mean, it's going to be super powerful. We've got some great teachers coming up. So we are super pumped. Table hosts, are we super pumped for these people?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. You hear that? We are just bursting at the seams with excitement. So, what's the first thing that comes up? All right. What I want to first do is bring up someone, a very, very special guest is with us today. She is a former graduate of Encounter. She is one of the most godly, sweet ladies I've ever known, especially when you know who she's married to. Is she coming up? And her name, I want everybody to give a big hand for what she's about to share for a few moments with you guys and gals. Her name is Karen Green. Give her a big hand if she's got something to share.
Hey, guys. So good to be back in Encounter. I miss you guys. So I'm going to read off my phone because I get nervous, so I'm just going to read it. This is about a dream that I had right before the start of my third round to serve in Encounter. So I'm just going to share about this dream that I had and what the Lord showed me about it. So I was going on a trip, and I got to the security at the airport. When I first saw myself in the dream, I didn't have anything that wouldn't pass the security check. But then after I went through, I got stopped, and they showed me a little in my little tray or bucket. And I was shocked when I turned around and saw that I had all these food condiments in it. And at first I thought, why did I bring those? I don't need those on my trip, and I knew that they were over the limit of what could be brought on the plane. But even though I knew that I didn't need them, I got angry when security told me I had to discard them if I wanted to get on the plane. As I thought about the dream, the Lord began to speak to my spirit and remind me that even though I was a leader in Encounter, and this was my third time to start this process, there were still things that I had brought to the airport that could prevent me from reaching my destination if I allowed it. See, the condiments are things that I hold dear to myself and how I liked things. The way that I liked my food and the condiments are like part of who I was. But in reality, if I hold too tightly to those things and refuse to release them, I can't get on the plane. A plane is a device that moves us rapidly from a starting point to our desired destination, which is exactly what Encounter is for our spiritual walk. But whether or not you actually surrender to the process, let go of those condiments that represent your identity, character traits, and comfort zones is what will determine whether or not you actually get on that plane. See, we show up expecting to board a plane and start a process to move closer to God, not knowing that we have brought along the condiments that can't go with us. And then we realize... they are things that we want to keep, because let's be honest, everything is better with our condiments. But in reality, condiments don't change our food. They mask, add to, and often are unhealthy added calories that we don't need. And if God is so patient, so kind, and so loving to continue to work on me during my third round of Encounter, he will be just as patient, kind, and loving to show each of you what is keeping you grounded. And after three rounds of such powerful teaching, if I still had more to learn, then I believe we can all encounter God more. We all have more of our flesh to lay down and more of the likeness of God to put on. I encourage each of you to surrender the things you think define who you are and embrace your identity in Christ so that you can get out of that airport and board the plane God has prepared for you. So my question for each of you is this. What condiments are you holding on to that will keep you from getting on the plane to take you to your encounter with God? And are you ready to let go and let God work in your life this semester of Encounter?
That's good. Appreciate it. Wasn't that good? That was really good. And it spoke to us last semester, and it spoke to us this obviously this semester too. And I say this with all sincerity. Well, let me take a step back from the statement I'm about to make. This weekend, my wife, you know, she's going off to get groceries and go with the kids and stuff, and I was left at the house, right? So I had a honey-do list. Any guys get a honey-do list from the wife whenever she goes, yeah, man, you know what I'm talking about, right? So I got my honey-do list, and right before, as I'm loading up the kids, she's opened up the car door, and she's about to get in. She takes one look back at me, and she makes one last statement right before she shuts that door, and she says, I look forward to the progress you're going to make by the time I get back. Now, how do you think that sat with me? Not very well, but the thing is I couldn't say anything because guess who said that to her more times than once? Me. So it was like a boomerang coming back. So my reply to her was, you do your part, I'll do mine, right? So when I say, make the statement as to when we're done with this class, all of us look forward to the progress you're going to make in your life, your spiritual life, just overall your knowledge of God, your closeness to God. We sincerely do mean it because each one of us are a testimony of that and what this class has done, what the teaching has done, what this church has done in our life. And what Karen just shared, if you want to get to that point, you might have to drop some of that excess baggage to get on that flight and make that trip to your destination of where you need to be, right? Is everybody ready to drop that excess baggage? Is everybody ready to drop that excess baggage? Yeah, there we go, there we go. Okay, so our next guest is gonna be the teacher. Wow, it's changing sound there, it seems like. So the next guest that we have coming up is the teacher for the first session, and man, she has been an integral part of Encounter, taking some of the basic teaching that we've had, upgrading it, enhancing it, looking at the content. She spent countless hours counseling the table host, teaching us, making this team, this teaching even better today than what it is each semester. So please give a big round of applause for Pastor Taylor.
Hey, you guys, can you turn me down just a tad, Chris? I have a loud voice. For those of you that know me, you know I used to play softball, and I was a catcher, and I'd yell across the field without a mic. Hey, give it up for the Encounter team, for Zane and Whitney and Justin and Lisa. God, give it up. Give it up for all of them and the time and effort that they put into this. And I know Zane, I'm the Next Steps director, so I get to be a part of leading all of this, but truly the hands and the feet of what happens here in Encounter is the team and their devotion and diligence and their heart, and we love you guys so much. Justin and Whitney love you, this team loves you, and we want to see God do everything that he wants to do in and through your lives this semester in Encounter, and I'm so excited to be teaching in Encounter tonight. I'm moving all this stuff. I hope that's okay, Zane. But does anyone remember the very last question that you guys were asked last week before you left? What was the question? It should be in your manual. Say it louder. Who will you become after the encounter? After your encounter with God? Week one sets the stage for these next 7 weeks and what God wants to do in your life. And these aren't just 7 weeks that you're walking into. These are opportunities. These are God opportunities. These are opportunities for you to encounter the living God because he wants to encounter you. And I want you to have the right perspective tonight before we dive into the teaching that this is an opportunity. So lay your guard down, take a deep breath. We're going to have some fun. It's going to be a good night. But I want you to see each week in here is another opportunity for you to take one step closer to God. And he's going to keep taking steps closer to you as he reveals to you things, as he does things in and through your life. And it's going to be amazing. Do you believe it? Yes. Yes. Ooh, that was strong. I love it already. So this week, go ahead, open your manuals. You may have already read the title of week two is what? Alignment. It's alignment. And no, we're not talking about cars. I'm sorry, guys, and those of you that are car fanatics. We're not talking about cars tonight, but we are going to be talking about another type of alignment that is actually very, very, very important. Because when it's applied in a biblical way with the truth of God's word, this type of alignment allows you to walk in victory and live in victory as a Christian on this side of heaven. Not just a one-time moment, but it's a lifetime of walking in victory with Jesus and pursuing him in everything that he has for you. So before we're able to kind of unpack this idea of alignment and what alignment is and what that looks like as a Christ follower, because that's typically not a word we use in church. It's not typically a word that's used in the four walls or on a Sunday morning. So I always think of cars when I think of alignment, but there is another type of alignment in your life and in your soul and in your spirit, and that's what we want to talk about tonight, and that's what we want to unpack here tonight. But before we talk about alignment and what that looks like, I want us to hone in on what is needing to be aligned specifically, because it's not the wheels of a car, and it's not the axle underneath. Is the axle underneath the car? Yes, okay, I thought so. I don't know anything about cars. It's not the axle, and it's not anything else, but it's us, and it's in us, and so we're going to talk about that first. So we're going to dive right in. You guys should have this scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We're going to look at it because it is biblical and it is in the Bible. So read along with me. It says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through. That is, separate you from profane and vulgar things, make you pure and whole and undamaged, consecrated to him, set apart for his purpose." That's what consecrated means, holy, set apart for his purpose. "And may your spirit and your soul and your body be kept complete and be found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So as humans, we are made up of three parts, and they were just listed right there in that scripture in 1 Thessalonians. We have three distinct parts. What were they? What was the three parts that were listed? Spirit, hang with me, soul, body. We are made up of three parts. We're made up of our spirit, our soul, and our body. These three must consistently be in proper alignment, spirit-led. So your spirit comes first. Your spirit's in alignment with the Holy Spirit. After that is your soul. What is your soul? This is your mind, your thoughts, the things that you're thinking. This is your will, your desires, what you're chasing after. And this is your emotions, your feelings, how you're feeling. That's your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And after that is your body. Yes, it's your physical body, but it's also your flesh, which is the carnal part of us, the sinful nature of us is our body. And so right now, this is considered the proper alignment. Your spirit comes first. Your soul follows, and then your body, all being led by the Holy Spirit, by God's Spirit, in that order. Does that make sense tonight? Yes, let's go a little bit deeper. So God's word clearly teaches that we are made to live and stay in this order. And when we do, we more easily walk in the Spirit and receive the blessings Jesus died to give us. We call this order alignment, this biblical order, alignment. Everybody say alignment. Alignment. So I want to break down what these words mean for you tonight. And the first one of what is alignment, we need to look at the word align. What does align mean? The word align means to arrange things so that they form a line or they're in proper position, to change something so that it agrees with or matches something else, to bring into a line or alignment. So we have just aligned these things. That's what we've done. This is the proper alignment, spirit, soul, and body. So that's what it is to align. Number two, the second word. So if we have align, which means we're bringing them together the way that they're supposed to be, and we're talking about alignment tonight. Well, what is alignment then? Let's look at it. The proper positioning or state of adjustment of parts. The adjusting of the parts in relation to each other. So if you can put something, if you can align something and it needs alignment, what does that mean can happen here? Who said it? Get out of order. If you need alignment, you're not properly aligned, which means you've got to bring some stuff back into order, right? So think of it this way. It's like, hey, who has ever bought a brand new car right off the lot? Or man, you just bought a car off the lot in general. What'd you buy? What'd you get? A Honda Civic. Chris, what'd you get? What'd you drive off the lot with? Nissan Altima. So you're driving off the lot of this car place that sells cars. That's a terrible description of that. But you're driving out, and hopefully, since you just bought it and it's brand new, there's nothing wrong with it. It's good to go. It's in alignment. The brakes work well. The axle underneath the car, everything's good with that. Got it right. But guess what? Over time, when we drive through the rain and we drive through the wind and we have to pump the brakes 5 million times because we're texting instead of paying attention, and we're hitting curbs sometimes, or we're going over bumps and we're swerving in and out, and we're driving down dirt roads if you're Justin Lindsay, what can happen to the car over time? It gets out of alignment, and we take it to the mechanic, we take it to Chris Henson, and we get our car fixed. And he puts things back into alignment. The same principle applies to our lives. Because sometimes we can go through things in life, or just life in general, that pulls on us, that moves us this way or that way. It's a break, it's a sudden stop, or it's a big old bump or a pothole. And our spirit and our soul and our body can get a little bit out of whack there. And we call that spiritual alignment. Spiritual alignment. The process of becoming free from things that cause us to be misaligned with Christ. Learning to walk and live like Jesus. So it's not just learning it one time or two times. Do you get your car aligned once? Twice? No, it's a continual maintenance thing. You are continually having to take it in and get it checked and get it realigned so that it drives the way it's supposed to drive. Actually, right now, my car needs to be aligned. It keeps pulling off to the right every time I drive. I take my hand off the wheel and it's like, I'm pulling off to the left because it's out of alignment. It's out of alignment. And you know, I can go and get my car fixed easily. But sometimes we become out of alignment. And we need to get back in alignment the way that God created us to be, so we can live and walk in victory as Jesus did and as he died for us to do. And so I want to talk about that tonight in this first section. And we are going to talk about why alignment is important. But I first of all want to read this scripture to you guys from 1 John 2:6. And it says, whoever says he lives in Christ, that is, whoever says he has accepted him as God and Savior, ought as moral obligation to walk and conduct himself just as he walked and conducted himself. Who is that talking about? Jesus. So whoever says he lives in Christ, whoever says, God, Jesus, I give you my heart and my life, be the Savior and the Lord of my life, whoever says I live in Christ, ought to what? Ought to walk and conduct himself just as he walked and conducted himself. How did Jesus walk and conduct himself? In proper spiritual alignment. Led by the Spirit, next came his soul and his body. He is our example. He is our model. So we are supposed to align ourselves with that and also be spiritually aligned. And I want to take a minute right quick. Where did I put my marker? Here it is. I want to look at, so if this is proper spiritual alignment, where our spirit comes first, our spirit's leading the way, it's charging the way, and next is our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our what? Emotions, yes, and the next is our body, our physical body, but also just that carnal, that sinful nature that tries to come in sometimes and demand its own way. But if this is proper spiritual alignment, what does it look like when we do get this out of order? What does that look like? So if our spirit isn't leading the way, what could be? Our soul. Let's talk about that for a second. So if we have soul, spirit, body, or even soul, body, spirit, let's look at what that looks like. So what is our soul? What did we just explain our soul is? Our emotions. What else is it? Our mind. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And I want you guys to hear me tonight. The thoughts in your head, you're going to have tons of them, but the ones that you dwell on, the ones that you chew on, the ones that you meditate, and the ones that you believe will in turn become how you feel, and how you feel will then become what you act upon. That's the power of your soul. And if it's out of alignment, because your thoughts are out of alignment with the truth of God's word, if your thought life does not match what God's word says about you or himself or another person, you will not be able to be spiritually aligned and walk in the truth. Well, what does that look like? Well, what does your thought life look like? What kind of thoughts do you think about yourself? I'm not good enough. I'll never be good enough. I couldn't please my dad, so how could I please anybody else? I couldn't live up to that expectation. I'm worthless. I'm useless. God could never use me after what I did. I'm so ashamed of who I am. What about your thoughts towards other people? My spouse doesn't hardly look at me. They probably don't even love me anymore. They probably don't even want to be with me. My kids don't even talk to me. I don't even think they like me. What's your thought life like? Because then your thoughts are going to in turn be how you feel. And if your thoughts are negative towards yourself or towards others or towards God, how do you think you're going to feel? Very negatively. Very negatively. But you know what? I want to take a moment and say, understand that God's thoughts towards you are good. God says that you are blessed. He says that you are called. He says you are anointed and whole and healed. You may be thinking I'm broken, but God says you're healed. You may be thinking I'm useless, but he says you're forgiven and you have a purpose. I have a plan for your life. Those are God's thoughts towards you. You need to start thinking them because it's true. It's truth. He speaks truth over you. He sings over you. He's in love with you. He sent his son to die for you. So I don't care what mama and daddy and grandma said or your friends next door said, you're worth something to Jesus because he died for you. Okay? So that soul, this is my mind and my feelings. They're taking over and leading the way. But let's look at it when we have our body now. And this is dangerous because this is what? What's the body? The flesh. This is the carnal. And when your body is leading the way, you just don't care. I'll give in to any impulse. I feel it. I do it. I want it. I got it. I say it. I will. And I don't care who's in my path. That is destructive living. Because I thought it. I felt it. And now I'm going to do it. And you're digging a ditch, and you're digging a ditch, and you're digging a ditch that God says, I saved you from that. Come up. Live this way. Victorious. Overcoming. The life he died to give you. You need to know allowing the soul or the body to take lead negatively affects your life and those even around you. And Jesus has a better way and a better plan. And we're going to talk about that in here tonight. Okay? Does this make sense? Okay. Let's look real quickly about why alignment is important. Why alignment is important. Number one, alignment will motivate one to develop a disciplined life. Oh, those words are cringy to some of you, myself included. It'll help you develop a disciplined life. What once was a have to becomes a want to. Self-discipline does not set us free. Only Jesus can do that, of course. But to be effective Christ followers, we must learn to do our part and live a disciplined life. God gives us the ability to exercise self-discipline. I think the best example of this is just the example of working out. How many of you are avid gym goers? Avid in the gym? I need to put my hand down because I'm not. I need to be. But you know what? It's hard because it takes self-discipline. It takes mental strength to get yourself to the gym and do it. And I know for me, it's like the first 2 or 3 weeks are awful. They're awful. As I'm going to the gym or going to a run, I'm telling myself, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to. It's hard. I'm sore after I work out of the gym, and that hurts, and I don't like it, you know? But once I kind of get the hang of it, once I kind of get in there, then, like that statement, it does become a want to, not a have to. And I begin to see the results that come from living that healthy lifestyle. And this is no different. When you live life in proper spiritual alignment, you will see the results in your life, in your relationships, in your thought life, in your peace. But we have to do our part and also be disciplined. Because I have to deny myself the donuts. I have to deny myself the Netflix. I have to deny myself the sleeping in and do my part and show up and go to the gym and do my part and show up and read the Bible and do my part and show up and pray and do my part and show up and encounter with an open mind and an open heart ready to receive from the Lord. So we all have a part in this. And proper spiritual alignment helps you to get that self-discipline that you need to keep going. Number two, why alignment is important. Alignment will provide a vital source of communication. When we are aligned with God, we can hear Him more clearly. When your spirit's leading the way and your emotions aren't have you on a roller coaster, don't get me wrong, it's okay to have emotions. It's not okay for emotions to have you. That's not okay. God gave us emotions. That's how He made us, because they can be a powerful thing. He can use things like anger and sadness and grief to move you to do something impactful for His kingdom. And it's good to have those emotions. It's good. But it's not okay when they start to have you and it begins to affect your spiritual alignment. And now you're walking out of alignment because you're so angry at that person and you're just going to blow up whenever you feel like it. So emotions aren't bad. It's just not okay when they begin to have you and influence you in such a way that it pulls you out of alignment. But you can hear God more clearly when you are in proper alignment, because your emotions are where they need to be. And it doesn't mean you won't have them, but His voice will reign higher as you spend time with Him, and you'll hear Him more clearly. I love this in John 10:27. The sheep that are my own, this is Jesus speaking, the sheep that are my own hear my voice and listen to me. I know them and they follow me. He has given you the ability to hear His voice. And when we are in proper spiritual alignment, it makes it a whole lot easier to hear His voice. Number three, why alignment is important is alignment will provide a strong line of defense. This may be one of my favorites. I have a neat story that I want to tell you guys here in a second. But get this, alignment with God is a strategic fighting position. What? Yes. Alignment with God is a strategic fighting position, but you're not doing the fighting. God is fighting on your behalf. That is so foreign to culture. Our culture says, fight, fight, fight. Go take what you want. Go riot, go do this, go do that. But when you are in spiritual alignment and you, God's kingdom is, I love what Justin says, it's an upside down kingdom because he doesn't do things the way our culture says to do them. And I want to tell you guys a story really quick. When I was 20 years old and I got saved, I decided to stay here in Lufkin, Texas. This was a while back, almost 10 years ago. And I just felt the call of God on my life to ministry, and I was so super stoked about it. I was going to AC playing softball. I'm from the Dallas area. This was foreign to me. You know, like, Toto, we're not in Kansas anymore. That was Lufkin for me. At the end of my sophomore year, I was depressed, just not in a good place at all, and I came into the doors of this church, which was formerly Lufkin First Assembly. I gave my heart to the Lord, felt called to ministry, super excited about it. I told my whole family about it, and they all turned their back on me. They all turned their back on me. And not only did they turn their back, they made fun of me, they ridiculed me, they persecuted me, they texted me awful texts, told me I was being brainwashed, couldn't believe I had changed and would abandon them like that, on and on and on, even to the point I remember being on the phone with my dad, and he was saying, he said these words, he said, "You choose God or you choose me?" And I said, "Dad, I choose God," and he hung up on me. And I went home a few weeks after that, and I walked into the front door of what used to be my house. And I was about this close to my dad in the kitchen. I can still remember it. And I was terrified on the inside, but I had a strength and a calmness and a peace around me that was supernatural, you guys. And my dad looked at me, and I told him, "Dad, this is what I feel like I'm supposed to do. This is what I'm called to do. I gave my heart and my life to the Lord. I'm going to follow him no matter what." And he looked at me, and he said, "This is no longer your house. There's the door." And I turned, and I was respectful, and I honored my dad. And I turned, and I walked out the door, and I'm not going to lie to you. I broke down in tears and began to weep. In my emotions, my heart was breaking. But I'm telling you, because I was in proper spiritual alignment, I still did have the peace of God with me and his strength and his calmness and his favor. And let me tell you something. My relationship with my dad to this day is better than it's ever been. Better than it's ever been. I'm not kidding. Get this. He called me a month ago. Had the longest conversation I probably ever had with him. It was about an hour and a half phone conversation. He literally said these words, "Taylor, I support you. I'm so proud of what you do. I'm proud to call you my daughter. I trust what God is doing in your life, and you just need to know he's going to put you wherever he wants you, when he wants you there, and you can trust that. I love what you're doing, and I support it 100%. And the example in our manuals tonight is about Moses when he was leading the Israelites, and they were surrounded, the Egyptians were coming after them, and what was in front of them? The Red Sea. Did Moses freak out? Did he run off? Did he curl up in a ball? No. He did his part, and God said, "Raise your staff," and he parted the waters. God still parts waters today, you guys. They don't may not look like the Red Sea, but it could look like a dad. It could look like a family member. It could look like something that's going on in your life, and you need to know he still parts waters today. He still parts waters today, and I didn't do anything. God fought on my behalf, and he'll do it for you too. Number four, alignment with God will bring freedom from habitual lifestyle of sin. From a habitual lifestyle of sin. What I feed grows, and what I starve dies. What you feed will grow. The thoughts you feed, the beliefs you feed, the relationships you feed will grow. What you starve will die. And that's very important. When I consistently align with the Word of God, I give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to guide me. Get this scripture right here. Galatians 5, 16 through 18. But I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit. What is that? That's proper spiritual alignment. Be properly spiritually aligned. Walk habitually in the Holy Spirit. Seek Him and be responsive to His guidance. And then, say, and then you will certainly not carry out the desires of the sinful nature. So when I'm walking in alignment with the Holy Spirit, when I'm following the promises of God, the truth of God, denying myself and walking in alignment, then I will not carry out the desires of my sinful flesh. I will not walk with my body leading the way. Will I stumble sometimes? Yes, we're not perfect, but God's hand of grace will come and pick you right back up and keep you going. So it brings freedom from a habitual lifestyle of sin. You need to understand there's power. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. If you have given your life to Christ, it says the same Spirit that raised Jesus' dead body lives in you today. There is power in that. The Holy Spirit gives you power to overcome sin, to overcome that lifestyle. He will give you His power. The same way He rose Jesus' body. I love that. That's probably my favorite one. Number five, why alignment is important. Alignment with God brings unparalleled peace, regardless of what you're walking through, regardless of that relationship situation, regardless of that job situation, that school situation, that financial situation, regardless of what you're walking through in life, when you are aligned with God, He will provide peace for every circumstance. And it's just like that story with my dad. I had the peace of God that covered me. I was sad, but I wasn't confused. I was sad, but I was strong, not in my own strength, in His, because I was walking in spiritual alignment. And lastly, number six, of why alignment is so important. Alignment with God produces a fruitful life. A fruitful life brings a fulfilled life. You guys, living this way, living spiritually aligned, I'm telling you, it is an adventure with Jesus that you don't want to miss out on, because it's so amazing. He knows you inside and out. He has plans and purposes for your life that He wants you to fulfill. He wants you to be fruitful in each, every, and every one of you. You have a special destiny, a God-given, ordained purpose to make a difference in this world. John 10:10, Jesus says, I have come to give you life and abundance, an abundant life, not just life, abundant life. A life in proper spiritual alignment is a life to the fullest. It's a life abundantly lived. That's why spiritual alignment is so important. I know right now we're going to send you guys off to a break, a little potty break. We're going to pull some snacks out of the tables and have a good time. Before we do that, though, I just would like the opportunity to pray over you guys and pray over this first section tonight. So let's bow our heads. Father God, Lord, thank You for encounter. God, thank You for You, because You're the one that encounters us. God, You open our eyes to see You more clearly. You open our hearts to know You more intimately. Oh, Lord Jesus, it's my prayer that every person in here tonight would walk away knowing they have heard from You. But not only that, God, that they would see the opportunity of Your hand involved in moving in their life, God. And they, Lord, they would pursue You passionately. Lord, that they would pursue a life of proper spiritual alignment, because they want to live in victory, God. The victory You died to give them, Jesus. Father God, continue to speak to every person in here tonight. Continue to open our eyes, Father. Continue to move on our hearts, God. Continue to have Your way in this place. We surrender all to You. We love You, Jesus. It's in Your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen, you guys. You can be dismissed to use the restroom. We are going to bring...
All right, all right. Come on, we learned this lesson earlier. It was just like, what, an hour ago? Come on, all right. Howdy. Howdy. That's a little better. There you go. There you go. That's what I want to hear. Okay. Cool. As everybody's getting back seated, come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Hurry, hurry, hurry. So we can get started back again. So yeah, hopefully y'all have had enough time to where y'all have already opened up your snacks so you're not doing this during the whole service and everything. That's why we have the break, you know. But if you do, it's okay. The snacks are there to be eaten, so make sure and eat as much as you can. Hello. Hello. Simmer down, simmer down. Hey, one thing I did want to share, you know, I think we can all appreciate Pastor Taylor, not only the teaching that she shared, but the story that she shared, right, of showing how she took basically this, or what was there, on putting everything in order and applied it to her life. And the cool thing about that, team, is each and every one of you have your own story, right? Yeah, you have your own story of how you've gotten to this point, the reason why you're here. And some of you, the reason why you're here, yeah, maybe you were dragged here by your spouse. Maybe you're here because you don't even know how you got here, right? But at the end of the day, we know without a shadow of a doubt, you're here for a purpose. You're here for a reason. And the reason is you have a story that can speak to others. You can share with others so that they also can be believers in Christ, so they can grow closer to Christ, et cetera, right? So just think of that. Think of your own story in this, right? Think of how each of these things that you're learning, how you can apply it to your life, how you can show the before and after results to somebody that might, they might hear this on the board and the content all day long, but until they see the results and what's happened in your life, that's when the light bulb can go off, right? So make sure you keep that in the back of your mind as you're going through this, right? Okay? Okay? All right, cool. So what I want to do then is introduce my very good friend who's going to be teaching the second part of this, a great counselor, sort of kind of neighbor. You're right up the road from me. Pastor Stephen, give him a big hand as he's coming up.
All right, how we doing, Encounter? Woohoo! You guys are awesome. Man, this is exciting. Love seeing this room full of folks that you're here for a good reason. And for some of you, maybe you're still, it's week two, you're still a little bit like, what am I doing here? I'm a little bit nervous, a little bit scared about what God's doing in my life. Can I share a quote with you that I just want to share with you that has stuck with me since I was a teenager? An older gentleman gave this to me, and I have just held on to this for years. And I just want to say this to all of you tonight. Give all that he asks and take all that he promises. Okay, let that just settle in your heart and your mind tonight as you continue to hear this teaching and as you move forward over the next few weeks. Give all that he asks. He's going to ask you to give some stuff. He's going to ask you to give up some things. He's going to ask you to do some things. He's going to stretch you over the next few weeks. So give all that he asks, but man, take all that he promises. Because everything he asks can't compare with what he promises you and what he's going to give you and the freedom that he's going to give you over the next few weeks. Amen? It's going to be awesome. Awesome. Did Taylor do an awesome job or what? Man, she killed it. She did such a great job. And I told her, I said, now I get to follow you. Thanks a lot. And I love her. She's just doing such a great job. I get to work with her in the office here at the church, and she's just doing such an incredible job leading all of our Next Steps ministries for Timber Creek Church. Just, she's a product of that, and now she's leading it in so many great capacities. She's doing a great job, and excited to be here with you guys tonight. So she did a great job talking about alignment. And now I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit about what does a life out of alignment look like. So jumping back into your notes, a life out of alignment, what does that look like? Well, number one, a life out of alignment is stuck. Everybody say stuck. It's stuck in habitual sin. You know, I looked this word up, habitual, and it can be described as this. It can be regular, usual, doing constantly, or as a habit. And before we know it, guys, when our life gets out of alignment with God, all of a sudden, before we know it, we can become stuck. You know, I don't look at it as something that just happens real fast. A lot of times it's something that gradually happens because we don't pay attention to it. Life gets busy. Life gets crazy. Things happen. And all of a sudden, if we're not careful, when we get out of alignment, before we know it, we get stuck in habitual sin. We get stuck out of alignment when God has called us and wants us to be in the alignment that Taylor talked about tonight, right? Listen to some of these synonyms for habitual, right? For habit. Constant, persistent, continual, continuous, perpetual, nonstop, recurrent, repeating, right? Repeated, right? It's this sin that we get stuck in. Before we know it, all of a sudden we've gotten stuck and it just continues to repeat and we just feel like we can't get out of it, right? That's what life out of alignment looks like. It looks like a life that is stuck in habitual sin. You look at Galatians chapter 5 again. Taylor read a few scriptures just a little while ago leading up to this, but I want us to look at the results of a life that's out of alignment that gets in habitual sin. This is what it looks like in verse 19 through 21 of chapter 5 in Galatians. It says, "Now the practices of the sinful nature are clearly evident. They are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, total irresponsibility or lack of self-control, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions that promote heresies, envy, drunkenness, riotous behavior, and other things like these. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Before you know it, if we're not careful, we're out of alignment, we just drift away from the Lord, and we get stuck in habitual sin and out of alignment. Number two, a life out of alignment looks like this. It's people that are out of alignment hurt others because they are hurting. Do you know some hurting people, right? Have you ever met these individuals? I know I have in my life. One of the most sad realities that I've learned as a pastor in 20 plus years of church ministry, as a youth pastor, a senior pastor, and being here at Timber Creek, being a missionary over in Europe, and all the stops in my ministry life, it's the sad reality is that hurt people hurt people. It's just true. I sit in my office and I do pastoral counseling. I'm not a professional counselor, but just try to give good biblical guidance to lots of couples and individuals. And I just see it time and time and time again that hurt people hurt people. People hurt others physically, verbally, emotionally, right? There's this idea of emotional manipulation. Maybe you know those people. Hopefully we've not been that person, but maybe we have at times in our life, you know. But there's those people that even manipulate us emotionally. And it's all because they're hurting people and their life is out of alignment. They're not living that aligned life that God had designed for them to live their life. So people who are out of alignment hurt others because they're hurting. And then number three, they suffer bad pain, wasted pain. A life out of alignment, someone who's living a life out of alignment is going to suffer bad pain, wasted pain. How is this? Why does this happen? It's because life out of spiritual alignment and a life that embraces the practices of the sinful nature, it comes with consequences. Do we not know that? I mean, it does, right? We just read that in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 19 through 21, didn't we? We saw all these consequences that come with that life. They come with addiction. They come with broken marriages, busted relationships. It comes with loneliness and bitterness, hurtful cycles that never end because we keep looking in all the wrong directions to fill an emptiness that can only be found in true alignment with our Heavenly Father. It's the only place it's going to be found. But yet we keep trying to look other places, and we just kept coming up to dead ends. These consequences, they come with scars too. I think this room is probably filled with lots of scars. You know, I've got mine. You probably have yours. Is there forgiveness for those things? Absolutely. But to live out of alignment can bring such bad pain that God never wants and never intended us to live. So why not get our lives back in alignment and allow the Lord to heal us so that we can be done with that bad pain? Wasted pain that if we would only have looked to the Lord for our rescue and used the help that God gives us and the right people that He brings into our life, the right people, guys, the right voices that He wants to bring into our life, right? Then we could have avoided all that bad and wasted pain in our life. Number four, a life out of alignment, people that are out of alignment, spiritual alignment, they speak and they live under curses. There's this idea that out of alignment, and you've been living that way for a long time, it just, before you even know it, it's even the way you speak. There's just this toxic a language. There's this toxic life that you live under these curses. That individual lives under these things and speaks those things and may not even realize it, what's coming out of their mouth, because again, they're completely out of alignment, right? And so that's what that looks like. You know, I wanted to just share a quick story. Raise your hand if you were in here last semester. A lot of you guys, awesome. And can I say something to you? I've been saying this in Grow Track the last few weeks. I know you've been through this week too, right? You've been here before. A lot of you haven't. So those of you that are new, so glad that you're here. But those of you who've been through it, don't just have the attitude, let me just breeze past this. Let me just get up to whatever it was, week 4, week 5. Justin, where were we when we stopped? Week 5, right? I just got to get through the first 4 weeks so I can get to week 5. No. Get rid of that mindset and just embrace tonight. You may be hearing some things that you've heard before, but man, embrace it. Be open to it because God wants you to hear it again. You're in here for a reason, okay? And so let me share just a quick story of how I kind of found my life out of alignment and gotten to a place that I realized that, yes, even as a pastor, okay, I'm not immune to it. I'm still a person. I'm still a human, right? And I had gotten out of alignment. You know, I grew up in a Christian home. I was adopted. Many of you know that. I've shared that story before, but it was all planned before I was born. I was born in Fresno, California. But as soon as I was released from the hospital, my parents from Beaumont, Texas, were there in Fresno to pick me up at the hospital, and we got on a plane and headed to Texas. So I always tell everybody, I wasn't born in Texas, but I got there as quick as I could, and I've been in Texas most of my life, got the accent, and I'm a Texan, okay? I might not have been born here, but I'm a Texan. And so, but I grew up in a great home, and I had great parents, great family, but I noticed something. When I got to about the same age my son is at right now, he's 11 years old. When I got into middle school, sixth grade, a lot of just turbulent things were happening in my family, my immediate family. I had an older sister that was just going through a lot of challenging things and making a lot of poor choices. But I also noticed my mom, my adoptive mom, who lives in Beaumont, and she just was struggling. And as I got older, I began to realize that she was really struggling with depression. She struggled with just a lot of different things. She had been abused in her past, and in fact, it took her years to get to a place where she would come to a counselor, and when she went to a counselor, that counselor abused her, took advantage of her. I mean, she just continually, one thing after another, went through some just horrible situations that just continued to compound her struggles and her pain. And I remember getting into high school, and I just didn't have that relationship with my mom that maybe some of you had. That I just didn't have that classic mom at home. She just didn't know how to be a mom. Why? Because she was just hurting so bad on the inside that she just didn't know how to be a mom. She struggled with lots of addictions, struggled with depression, lost her job, I remember, in high school, multiple jobs because of an addiction to painkillers and different things like that. And I just remember living with that. My older sister was gone, so it was just my mom and my dad and myself. And I loved my dad. My dad loved the Lord, but he just really didn't know what to do. He just didn't know how to take care of the situation. So I remember being in high school and just remembering when my mom many times attempted to take her life, I just was in a position where I was like, well, if I don't stay strong and if I don't be the strong one in this situation, nobody else is going to be. And so it put me as a high school young man in a bad position that I shouldn't have been in. Right, and I had to be strong, and I had to deal with these issues and be there when my mom tried to take her life and there to console my dad. And I remember it got so bad one time that right after I graduated high school, I ended up staying home for a year before I went off to Bible college in Missouri. And I remember coming home one afternoon after work, and I could hear my mom call my name from the other room, and I realized that it wasn't that same, "Hey, Stephen, come here." It sounded like panic in her voice, and I went down the hallway only to find that my mom was just bleeding horribly from her leg in her bedroom. And I picked her up and I said, "What happened?" And she said in the moment, a vase fell off the counter and I went to stop it with my leg and it cut my leg all the way down. And in the panic of the moment, I believed her. I just gathered her up, got her in my truck, had blood all over me from my mom, took her to the emergency room. And I remember sitting there and my dad showed up a little bit later and he said, "You know, son, that didn't just fall off the counter. She had literally taken a vase and ran it up her leg because she was in so much pain, and she just hated her life, and she loved me. I know she loved me, and she was my mom, but she was just in so much pain." And man, that was a low point. I mean, it was just a bad, bad situation. And I remember, too, that next year, I really felt God had a call in my life to go into Bible college, to go into ministry. But I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to go to this school I'd found in Missouri because I thought if I leave and my mom takes her life while I'm gone, it's my fault. It's going to be all my fault. So I probably shouldn't go. I should just stay here. And what's amazing is God brought my birth mom, my real mother in California, back into my life towards later in my life. When I was 17 years old, I got a birthday card from her, and we ended up talking on the phone. And I really credit my parents in Beaumont because they could have shut all that down, but they didn't, and they allowed me to have this great relationship with my mom. Ended up meeting her my senior year of high school. She came out, flew out from California with her husband, Steve, and we got to hang out for a weekend, and she just came into my life. And I remember just, you know, going out to visit her my senior year with a senior trip. And then that next year, I was struggling with that decision whether I should go to Bible college because of my adoptive mom. And God used my birth mom in the mall at Fresno, California to sit there and look at me and say, Stephen, you have a call on your life. And God loves you, and he's going to take care of your mom. You need to go do what God's called you to do. And I made that decision right there to go off to Bible college. And I went to Bible college and have a beautiful relationship with my birth mom now. She's amazing. Her and her husband are like third grandparents to my kids. They're just spoiled rotten. They got three sets of grandparents. But over the years, man, I tell you what, I had to wrestle with that. And I realized that I allowed that situation to basically get me out of alignment. And that's why I'm sharing this story. Because what happened is I realized over the years, even as a Bible college student, right, even as a youth pastor, that I had something going on inside of me that I didn't realize. What I discovered is I was living my life just gripped in fear, right? I was totally living my life in fear. And I began just actually, a few years ago, God began to kind of peel back the onion. You know what I'm saying? Just picture an onion, right? You got to peel that onion back one layer at a time. And I began to see that something was off in my life. And what I had realized is that even though I was serving the Lord and I was in ministry and I loved the Lord and God was doing incredible things and still blessing my life, I was living my life gripped in fear. And it all came back to really some of the experiences I had as a kid. I realized that, man, for years I struggled with fear because I feared not being loved because I had a mom who was struggling and I just didn't have that nurturing mother in my life, right? She didn't really love me the way that I wish she would have loved me. It was kind of more of a manipulative, emotionally manipulative kind of love relationship with my own mother. And because I feared not being loved, I would hide for years. I would hide, right? I would struggle with hidden sin in my life that I knew I could preach all the sermons, and I could say all the right things, but I would struggle with that, and I would try, and I would fight it alone when I really knew that I would never defeat that hidden sin without the Lord's help and without being vulnerable and without being transparent in the help of other people in my life. I knew that, but yet I hid, right? Because I didn't feel loved. I felt like if I show people the real me and I show people the things I'm struggling with, then they're not going to love me. Just like mom didn't love me the way she was supposed to, right? And it just began to develop that way. I would not let some of the most important people into my life. Why? Because I thought at some point, if they really see the real me, they're not going to love me, right? Even my wife, early years of our marriage, it was tough because I loved her, I adored her, but I wouldn't completely let her in because I thought if I do, and I didn't even realize it, and she may not love me because I didn't feel loved. I had this fear of not being loved. And then from that fear, it led to this. It led to the fear of not being enough. Well, if I don't feel really loved by anyone, then I just don't feel like I'm good enough. I had this fear that I'm just never going to be good enough. That I struggled, and that just led me to struggle with insecurities. Anybody struggle with insecurities? I think we all do, right? And I still do from time to time, but this fear bred insecurity in me for years. And I would get defensive. And I would miss out on lots of things because of this fear of not feeling like I was good enough or not being enough. Here's the dangerous thing. I would get so tied up in my accomplishments and success that I would wonder if anyone would love me for who I am rather than what I do. And that's a dangerous place to be. And I can tell you what, people in ministry, that's a very dangerous place to be as a pastor. Because people are telling you all the time, hey, great message, man. Way to preach that. That was good. Thank you for counseling me. Man, without you, I don't know what I would have done. And that just fed this thing in me, the wrong things, and had to realize what was going on in my life. And so there was that fear of not being enough. And then it led to another fear, which was just a fear of failure. I just feared that I was a failure or that I was going to fail every time I turned the corner. And that meant that I worried a lot about everything, and I allowed anxiety to creep into my life and in so many ways. It led to a place where I didn't truly trust God completely at times when I needed to, or trust the loved ones and the important people in my life. And then I would fear taking risk at times when I know God was telling me to take this risk or take that risk. And then I would just play it safe when I knew God was telling me to go out and do some specific things. I love that Pastor said that this morning in his message. Hey, if you want a safe, this is a safe place, our church. But don't be expecting some safe church that we're just going to play it safe. No, we're going to take some risk and we're going to go out and follow the Lord, right? Well, that was holding me back in my relationship with the Lord and in ministry. And so after a while, I had to stop listening, and I just began to see that all of a sudden, man, I have been living, even though I love the Lord, I'm serving the Lord, man, fear, I was way out of alignment. And I had realized that fear was dictating everything about my life, and began to really see as I peeled this onion back where that was all coming from. And after a while, I had to stop listening to the voice of the enemy. It was kind of like those old, I'm an old guy, I'm 42. It's kind of like an old tape recorder from the 80s, right, or something. And you put that cassette tape in, and it was just pushed on play, and it was these voices, these lies, constantly lying to me about fear. And I had to stop listening to the voice of the enemy and begin to trust and embrace the truth. I had to remember that my identity is in who? It's in Christ, just like you guys learned about last week, right? I had to accept that and begin to understand that. As you all learned that last week, and then I had to begin to get my life back into alignment with the help of some great mentors and people in my life. And I had to stop living in fear, and I had to accept the truth. And finally, a verse that I'd heard all my life as a kid growing up in church, I realized that here's the truth, and it's the truth for all of us tonight. 1 John 4:18, perfect love, right? It's perfect. Perfect love, the perfect love of my Heavenly Father, the perfect love of my Savior, Jesus Christ, it cast out all fear. And I'd heard that for so long, but I began to realize it, and I began to get the help that I needed, and I began to peel back that onion and realize that all of this fear was a total lie from the enemy. And I had to remember that I am loved, I always have been, by Heavenly Father that loves me just the way that I am. And I always have been, and I had allowed those tough years with my mom and all these other different things and choices that I had made to convince me that I wasn't loved, that I wasn't good enough. But the truth is, because I'm loved, I can love. And I can love the way that God's called me to love. I can love like Jesus. And the love of Jesus, the perfect, unfailing, unwavering love of Jesus, is more powerful than fear, right? And guys, I got things back into alignment. Is life perfect? No. Do I still struggle with some things here? Absolutely. We all do. But man, when things are in alignment, you begin to stop listening to the lies of the enemy and allowing the enemy to hold you back from what God truly intended for your life. And for you guys, if you allow him to, he wants to do the same process in your life. He truly, truly does. Just give him all that he asks, right? And take all that he promises. I'm telling you. So thanks for letting me share that part of it. So let's jump into the next section here. What pulls you out of alignment? What pulls us out of alignment? You know, Taylor already started it for us. She started talking, kind of comparing this to our vehicles, right? To our trucks, to our cars. Let's compare our spiritual alignment to alignments in our vehicles. What happens when your car is out of alignment? What happens? It shakes. It pulls, like Taylor was saying, right? It gets all messed up, right, if we're not careful. It costs us money at the end of the day. That's the worst part. It becomes difficult to keep that car driving straight. It increases the risk of tire damage. You ever bought some tires? They're not cheap, right? It increases the risk of accidents, right, if we don't take care of these vehicles. And so when we drive, we got to be cautious, and we've got to be aware of the potential dangers so that we can drive safely and avoid severe, costly damage to our vehicle or to anything else. And in the same way that we have to do that with our vehicles, we must be aware of potential spiritual dangers that can knock us out of alignment, okay? Several things that can damage a vehicle's alignment, we're going to look at that and compare it to the same thing spiritually. Sound good? Y'all with me? All right, so here's some potential dangers to our alignment. Number one is potholes, right? You ever driven through a pothole, right? It's that unexpected, come out of nowhere. Man, I'm driving down the road, and it could be a small little hole or a big hole, and you hit it, and what do? I mean, it just jars your whole body. You're just like, oh, my gosh, you see dollar signs. You're like, oh, man, I just got this new car. I just got new tires, or I just got this thing fixed, and you hit that pothole, and you're like, oh, it just makes you want to cry, right? And so it's that unexpected thing, comes out of nowhere, whether little or big, and eventually, it's going to mess up the alignment in your vehicle. All of a sudden, your car's not driving the way that it should be. Well, guys, just like that in life, there's these spiritual potholes. In other words, that unexpected news, okay? Unexpected news from a doctor, it might be. Unexpected news from whatever it may be. It may be a global pandemic. Jeez, golly, right? That was unexpected, right? What in the world? And so it could be tragedy. It could be a loss of a job, rejection. It could be betrayal from a close friend. It could be abandonment by someone that's super close to you that you thought loved you or wanted to be in your life, right? It's all these unexpected things. And so we have to be ready for those things because they happen. They come out of nowhere. Isaiah 41:10 reminds us that, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 encourages us to what? To trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. And I love this part. Lean not on your own understanding. I love that part because here's the deal. Your understanding, my understanding, it's limited, right? We don't know when these things are going to come. We don't know when these unexpected things are going to happen, these potholes that come in our life. But what we can do is we can trust in God. No matter what the news is, no matter what happens, we can trust in him because he's trustworthy. And we may not understand it all. We may not see it all. But when our life is truly in alignment with God, then that trust is strong because we've seen him be faithful. We've seen him be so good to us during the difficult times. So when that next pothole comes along, it's okay because we're going to trust in the Lord. And it says, "In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight." God does not guarantee us a trouble-free life. I hate to tell you that. That's just reality. Hopefully everybody knew that. But he does promise us. He promises to help and provide for us no matter what happens. 2 Corinthians 4, 8, and 9. "We are hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. Perplexed, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed." Love that, right? So you got to watch out for those potholes, right? Number two, hitting curbs or running into medians. How many of you are those people in your car? It's okay. Go ahead and raise your hand. I know some staff members that do that a lot. I think our staff keeps S&W and Corey Pig in business a lot. Pastor Jeremy. I mean, I didn't say that out loud, did I? But, man. So curbs and medians are obvious, right? They're obvious. Hello. But we still run into them or run over them. Visible boundaries that keep you and others safe, or at least they're supposed to. And they keep you going in the right direction, and they protect you from running into others and buildings. Lord help us if we run into buildings and et cetera, right? And that's for driving. That's with our cars, right? There's these things. But in our life, in our relationship with the Lord, and just in this world, we have these spiritual curbs and medians as well. In other words, we've got there's healthy habits that we can begin to produce in our life and build into our everyday life. Avoiding too much of things that could become addictions, right? Even good things can become addictions. Setting boundaries in entertainment and relationships, hello, right? Be careful, right? We got to be careful. We may have to set some boundaries about what we're watching, what we're putting into our hearts and our minds and our spirits, right? The older I get, the more I'm realizing I just have to be careful. And there's just some things that I just don't watch anymore. Some of the times it's because of past struggles, and I just don't want to go down that road anymore. So I'm going to be real careful. People may call me old school, but I don't care. I'm not going to go down that road. I'm going to put a boundary around that and protect it, right? Sometimes it's relationships. Sometimes it's avoiding places or people. Some of you, God may call you over the next 7 weeks to avoid a person, to get that person out of your life forever. Just, it's done. It's time because they're too toxic. Because they're just going to destroy your life and continue to keep you out of alignment. And God's like, it's time to say no to that person, to that individual, to that relationship, whatever it may be, and time to focus on me 100%. Make sense? And so those are those spiritual curbs and medians. I love 1 Corinthians 6:12. I have the right to do anything, Paul says, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I got every right to watch that show on Netflix. You do, you could, right? But not everything's beneficial for you, right? Well, I'm just buddies with that guy, with that girl. It's okay if I go to lunch with him or her, you know? It's no big deal. Well, you can do anything you want, but it may not be very beneficial for you. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything, Paul says in this scripture. So when you get in right alignment, you begin to see things differently, and you ask the Lord, God, am I honoring you with my relationships? Am I honoring you with what I'm watching, what I'm listening to, and what I'm allowing into my heart and into my mind? Sound good? Number three, back to the car illustration. Failure to have routine, consistent checkups and maintenance, right? It's that putting off the oil change. It's putting off the tire rotation. It's putting off those things. It's the check engine light when it comes on in the dashboard and you just get a piece of black electrical tape and cover it up so you don't have to think about it, because you know the bank account is low and there's no way that this is going to have any good news and it's going to cost me money. So I'm just going to cover it up so I don't see it, in Jesus' name. And so you've got to be careful. Things we know we should do but sometimes don't take the time to do is going to have a bad effect on your vehicle. They are simple things to do and not that expensive, and if we would do them, it would keep us from having to spend a lot of money later on, right? Well, it's the same thing in our relationship with the Lord. There's spiritual routines and maintenance, right? There's that daily time with God. I can't mention that enough, right? That daily time with God and His Word and spending time with Him. You know, make time for that, guys. If there was anything I loved about the pandemic, there wasn't a lot, but all of a sudden life just slowed down. And I got to spend more time with my kids. And I'm like, hello, wake up, man. I need to build that margin into my life more effectively and more often. And more time with the Lord. And look at us, man. 6-8 months later, we're right back in the thick of things, just crazy busy life. And have we already fallen back into those old habits? Right? You need to set those spiritual routines and maintenance, spending time with God, spiritual disciplines, prayer, and fasting, right? Attending church, not just showing up, but truly, truly coming and attending church and entering into worship and allowing the Lord to speak to you through the message, participating in next steps. You're doing that, guys. We're so proud of you guys for being in Encounter, serving on a dream team, telling others about Jesus. What I might say here is God showed me something recently. You can be whole. Nobody's perfect, but God wants you to be whole. And there's these five areas I thought about in my life. There's the spiritual, obviously. There's the emotional, social, right? The right relationships in my life. There's the intellectual, like the mental side of me. And then the physical. I'm not so good at the physical. Need to take better care of myself, right? But I begin to look at that. And my question to all of us is, like, we can be whole. We don't have to be perfect. We're never going to be perfect. We can be whole. And are any of these areas depleted? Spiritually, am I depleted? Am I spending the right time with the Lord? Am I spending enough time with Him? Physically, am I taking care of myself? Emotionally, am I spending enough, you know, am I just running myself ragged? Is my schedule absolutely out of control that I don't have any margin for rest? Am I getting enough sleep so that I'm emotionally okay, right? There's the social side of it. You know, am I going and having fun? Do I actually have a hobby? Am I spending time with those people that just give life to me, you know, and that have a positive influence on my life? So we can be whole. Never perfect, but we can be whole. And the question is, are any of those things depleted? It's okay to sit down and go through those five areas and ask the Lord to help you. Hey, where am I off on some of these? What are some things I need to add? And what do I need to subtract so that these areas, so that I am whole and I can be everything that you need me to be and I can be in right alignment with you? I think about just the consistency, guys. There has to be consistency in our life. And here's, I want to leave you with two questions. Are we asking the right question? The question is not, hey, God, where do I fit you in this week? I'm pretty busy. I got a crazy schedule. Where do I fit you in? Don't give God your tired, rundown leftovers. We do that all the time. Don't do that. Don't ask Him that question. The question we should all be asking is, God, what do I need to sacrifice so that my day revolves around you? so that my week revolves around you? That's the right question. And you may say, hey, you need to stop. You need to stop this. It's addition by subtraction, I tell my team sometimes. Sometimes it's about what we need to subtract, and we need to stop doing so that we can put the right things back into order and in place. Sound good to you guys? Amen. Well, hey, I want to introduce a friend to you. Almost two years ago, I met this guy about 4 years ago at a birthday party, and this awesome young guy named Luke Bishop. And about 2 years ago, yeah, come on up, man. About almost 2 years ago, he helped me do some landscaping at my old house. And I remember us having this conversation at this time in his life. Man, things were just kind of crazy.
They were, yeah.
They were, weren't they? And he looked at me and he said, man, he said, I'm not going to go to school this semester. He's like, do you think I could do Grow Track and Encounter at the same time? And I'm like, yep, that's Jesus. Yep, you can do it, man. You need to do that. Some people I would say your schedule won't allow both. But, man, he jumped in, and his life has never been the same. And that was almost 2 years ago. And God has taken him down this incredible road. He was a student in Encounter, and then he was a table host multiple times. And God has just got a hold of his life. And then a year ago, God called into the ministry. And so he's been a part of this internship program at our church with three other awesome young men. And they're incredible guys. And he's here to share with you guys tonight. So give it up for Luke Bishop. Love this guy.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Stephen. Yeah, so, he hit it right on the nail, right on the head. A year ago, through Encounter is when I felt called to full-time ministry. And so it's been a heck of a 2 years. Definitely, God has moved so much in my life. And it was through, like, I just want to emphasize, it was through Encounter where I got to find my purpose, discover my purpose. So I just want to share real quick on how to live a life in alignment. The first point is to learn to walk in the Spirit. Well, what does that mean, to learn to walk in the Spirit? And Pastor Stephen kind of hit on this a little bit too, but I spend my mornings, I don't wait until I don't get God, whatever I have left at the end of the day. I start my mornings with time with God, spending time with God. That's reading His Word. That's spending time in prayer and worshiping. So that's what I do every morning, sometimes for an hour, sometimes for 2 hours. It just depends on, I ask the Holy Spirit to lead me in that time, and so I'm on His clock. However long He wants me to spend in there, that's what I do. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. What is Paul trying to say here? He's saying simply, if we're saved, we should live like it. If we have accepted Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior, then we should live like it. And that's what life in alignment looks like. See, God wants to be in every aspect of our life. Like this morning, Pastor Jeremy talked about, he had a clip that said, like our finances and our relationships and whatever else. But spiritual was at the bottom, and then he said, no, scratch that, like everything is soul care, everything is spiritual. And so God wants to be he wants to be in all of it, the good, bad, the ugly. He wants to be in the center of all of it. He wants that full authority over every area in our lives. Why? I believe because He knows what's best for us. He knows what's going to bring us true joy. Right? And so I'm going to submit every aspect of my life to Him. Remember, like we said before, what you feed will live, what you starve will die. So how do we do that? When I feel out of alignment, I know I've got to starve something. And so every Monday morning, me, the other three interns, Pastor Talia and Courtney Mendoza, we fast every single Monday. And a lot of staff members, they have their own day where they fast, and they fast for that alignment. So like, just because we get into full time ministry, that doesn't mean that we're solid, we're set, and I'm always going to be 100% aligned with God's heart. I sometimes get out of that alignment, and so I have to fast weekly. I fast on Mondays. I spend time fasting and praying to get realigned, aligning my heart with God's will. There's a definition down here for spiritual alignment, and I want to read it to you real quick. Spiritual alignment is a process. So everybody say process. It is a process of becoming free from the things that cause us to be misaligned with Christ. Here it is again. It is the process, everybody say process, of learning to walk and live like Jesus. So spiritual alignment is a what? It's a process. So it's not going to be like God, realign me. Oh, I'm good. No, it's like a thing that we have to continually be intentional about. We have to intentionally keep realigning our lives with our hearts with His will, being in spiritual alignment. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord does not delay as though He were unable to act and is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is extraordinarily patient toward you, toward me, toward us, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come in to repentance." I'm so glad the Lord is patient. Are you guys glad? Let's give Him a hand real quick. Are we thankful that He's patient? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, so trust, when I read this, I'm hearing trust the process, right? Timber Creek has got this process of grow track, a starting point, the grow tracks, an encounter, and it's this process of discipleship. It's this process of being set free. It's this process of encountering God, right? And I hear all the time, trust the process. And so that's really what I want to leave you guys tonight with is trust the process. Be vulnerable. Be palms up, be open, with your table host. You guys are family, right? You guys are family for the next few weeks. Then we get to go on the retreat, but be vulnerable, be open with one another. That's how we're really going to, receive the work that God wants to do in each and every one of us. Pastor Jeremy said it this morning, vulnerability gives us moldability. I want to be molded by God, don't you? I want to be molded by God, so I got to be open, I got to be vulnerable, and I got to let Him do what only He can do, right? So to close, we have some questions for reflection. Just take a few minutes to respond. If you want to flip to the back of your book in Appendix B, ask your table host. They can help you find it. There's questions for reflection on alignment. And like I said, your table host will guide you through those questions. Thank you, guys. And find me here, Lord, as you draw me near. I'm desperate for you. Okay, team.
Howdy. Hey, it's really cool to see the discussions that's going on. I trust that the exercise has done its part, kind of revealed some stuff to you guys and gals. Really good teaching. One thing I was going to add to this, too, was, and when talking about the spiritual alignment piece, some of you, when you got to that page, right, and you're talking to your table host, you're looking at those questions, some of you, man, like, I don't know, this is the difference between me and my wife. My wife, man, she's just filling it up, all the stuff that's there, right? For me, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, like, there's this thing, and then I start writing it, and I'm like, wait, no, this comes to mind. And, wow, I'm like messed up. Let me just fill this thing up. Oh my, I didn't have enough room on the page, right? The thing I would encourage each of you is to consider this. Sometimes some of this stuff, when you first get that, when you look it on face value, you might be like, I think I'm good, right? I'm not that messed up. I'm fine, right? I'm right here. I would encourage you to take a deeper look into it. Go back to this page when you go home. Open that workbook and really pray about it. Just ask God to reveal, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal stuff to you that you might not be even seeing right here. In fact, I'll share this really quick story. The other day, my wife, I drive my truck, right? It's my truck. Nobody else drives it, okay? And I'll drive her car. That's her car, right? Nobody else wants to drive that thing, okay? You never know what's going to crawl out of it, you know? but anyway, one time I was asked to drive it because I had to take the kids somewhere. I can't even remember the situation. But I get in the vehicle, and man, as soon as I get on the highway, I'm going about 60. I can just feel this thing trying to stay straight. And I'm like, honey, like this thing is way out of whack. Like, something is wrong here. And sure enough, fast forward for a few days, took it to the dealership, and they said, oh, man, your tire is needs to be rotated really bad. I mean, he said, how were you even able to drive this thing? So I go to my, I'm like, yeah, honey, how could you even drive this thing, you know? But what was interesting about it was, she said, well, I didn't know it was out of line. I was like, how can you not know? Like, I could immediately, as soon as I got in that seat and drove on the road, I knew it was out of alignment. She said, I guess it wasn't, but then over time, it started just a little bit getting out of line, a little bit more and a little bit more, until suddenly it was so out of whack, had no idea, right? How many times does that happen in our own lives, right? It's not immediate. That's not the way the enemy works, right? Steal, kill, and destroy. He's not going to steal something right in front of you just like that. It's just a little bit. Little bit here, then a little bit more, and a little bit more, until suddenly you're so out of whack. My point being is this. What I've encouraged you to do as you're looking through this is think to yourself, okay, let me do a self-reflection inventory, but maybe you need to get somebody else in that driver's seat, right? Maybe you need to seek some godly counsel to then share with them what's going on in your life, right? What are some dreams that you have? What are some struggles that you have? What's some things going on that you don't really know what to do? You can't understand, right? Let them sit in your seat just for a bit. Share that with them, and then let's see if what we were talking about on this fear and perfect love, the alignment, let that person then kind of give an unbiased view and say, hey, this situation that you're in, I know you think, Tony, that this is the right move to make, but let me tell you, I think you might have something a bit out of line here, right? Hey, Crystal, look, I know that you think this is right. I know you really want to do this, but you might need to reconsider here and get this thing back in alignment. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? Godly counsel is a good thing. You know who's had counseling? Me. You know who still gets counseling? Me and my wife. Something that we worked on in our marriage. Our marriage is probably the best that it's ever been, but it wasn't always that way because guess what? We were in the ditch. Because we weren't aligned, right? And we want to choose, we make an intentional choice to stay in alignment throughout that because we've been in that, just said never again, right? And so even though we're at the best it's ever been, we still get that counseling to keep that maintenance, to keep that alignment so we don't have to, try to dig ourselves out of that. Because that's not what God wanted. We just went over and over in the scripture. I mean, heck, think about this, right? David, a man after God's own heart in the book of Psalms, the biggest book in the Bible. You want to know the first verse that he writes in the scripture? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's the first statement that he makes out of all the hundreds of chapters that he writes. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And he says that for a reason. Later on in that chapter, he talks about how their leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever they doeth shall prosper. And that's something I really want to challenge to the guys, especially. As a guy, I am always thinking to myself, man, hey, you know what? I got this. Man, come at me, bro. Come at me. Life, I got this. Man, take my job. Take my money. Man, I can go live under a ditch. I'm good, you know? We keep telling ourselves that. And then, in the whole time, certain things start getting out of line, right? Little things. I'm watching this show and suddenly something comes up there that I shouldn't be seeing. That my wife wouldn't appreciate me seeing. That God wouldn't appreciate me seeing. Yet I continue to watch it. It's just that little thing. And then it keeps growing into something else. Suddenly some friend that I haven't seen from a long time ago is in the grocery store and I have a conversation with her that I probably shouldn't have. Right? It's little things that keep growing and growing. But again, I'd say go back to what David said. You know, bless the man that walketh not in the counsel of the godly. Seek that godly counsel. Ask somebody and say, look, here's what I'm going through. Has anybody ever heard of a situation where someone said, man, I probably wouldn't have made that big mistake in my life because if I'd only had just more ungodly counsel, that would have been my saving grace. You know, I made such a big mistake asking this godly counsel to come into my life and teach me something. If only I hadn't listened to them. Oh, my goodness, right? Has anybody ever said that? No. You can't have too much of that. And the reason why is because what it does, again, it gets you back in alignment. What better opportunity to have that reflection, that inspiration, then here in this class, you're surrounded by people of godly counsel, your table hosts, the teachers, you're here at a church that can be able to do that for you, right? So I would encourage you, again, as you reflect, don't just fill this sheet out here tonight and say, oh, yeah, I'm done. All right, let's go to the next week. Take it home, reflect, and truly have a moment of reflection on it. Fill it out, get into detail, and then ask yourself, who's some godly counsel in my life that I've been kind of asking to, you know, like look at this mirror and say, hey, what do you think here, right? Who's somebody I'm asking to get in that driver's seat and check how far out of whack am I, or am I on the straight and narrow, right? So does that make sense? Okay, cool. I know we're it's a little bit late, but one quick housekeeping item I did want to bring up. It's very important, and we'll go into more detail about it later on. And starting next week is about the retreat. Will, if you can, go ahead and put some pictures. Yeah, anybody excited to go to the retreat? I can tell you it is a. I've been so many times I can't even count. Like the fourth time. And I can't wait to go back again. Our fifth time, thanks, babe. Yeah, she's the one that keeps counting that stuff. It's a fifth time, and I can't wait to go again. It is that awesome experience. Everybody that serves here has been to it probably multiple times, at least once. But the key thing, we'll talk more about that in detail. The key things you need to know, because some of you, you know, hey, there's a lot of people here that work, right? So you need to be able to plan for that, take off of work, put in vacation days or whatever. The dates, we're showing pictures up there. The dates are not correct if you see them pop up, right? We didn't get a chance to reflect that. But the dates are November 12th to the 14th. Make sure and put it up in your calendar, text it to yourself, write it down, whatever the case might be. November 12th to the 14th. When you would show up, people say, hey, what time do I need to be there? Registration starts at 5 o'clock that day on the 12th. Now, it's a Thursday, okay? So what you would need to do is, you know, maybe take off a half day off on Thursday, but a full day off on that Friday. And you'd be out by Saturday at noon, okay? And lodging's taken care of in this. The meals are taken care of in this from Saturday night up until that Saturday morning. The registration for that is $165 per person with a $50 per deposit to secure that. I know for us, it was we were glad to go. There has not been, to my knowledge, and Justin, you can correct me back there, there's not been one single person that has ever paid to go to that retreat that said, hey, I want my money back from that. I didn't get anything out of it. Out of every single class, every single person that's went has said, best money I've ever spent, right? And we'll talk again more about that and why that is. But just make sure you're aware of the $50 deposit. Costs $165 and the date's November 12th to the 14th, okay? And, yeah, Justin, you want to add something else to that? Yeah. So one thing some people ask is saying, like, man, I don't know, I can't. I think the math ends up being it's about if you do the math out to the end of whenever you can, the last day to sign up is about $22, $23 a week. I mean, guys, how many times we go to Olive Garden and spend $20, right? And if it's Olive Garden, ugh. They're breadsticks. Man, anyway, I'm sorry. If anybody works at Olive Garden, I really apologize. Not trying to not get too bad there. But anyway, just saying, it is very achievable. Some people might see that dollar value and say, man, that's a lot of money. But just remember, I mean, this is a lot. It could be a life-changing experience for you. It's worth every penny. Everybody wants to go back whenever they go, okay? And we'll talk more about that, right? I know it's getting kind of late, and I want to respect all y'all's time. So everybody good? Yeah. Wasn't this teaching awesome? Yes. Yeah, give him a hand. All right, did I cover all housekeeping? Everything good? Okay, I'll trust that's a yes. All right. So let's go ahead and close. I'll close this out in prayer. And, we'll go ahead and do that. Father God, thank you for this time, Father. It's such a privilege to be in your presence, God, fellowshipping with one another, learning about your word, your laws, your plans for us, and ways that we can live our life. That's a reflection of your wills and your plan for us, Father. Thank you so much for this time, Father. Lord, I pray that you bless each individual here, God. I pray that you give them strength to persevere throughout their next week, God. Give them the protection, Father. Lord, may they have favor among men, but may they have favor with you. We ask all this in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all. Have a good night.